already been a very special joy to be here and to hear Brother Fred. The Lord blessed him. And I'm sure that each of you can benefit from the message that our Lord has given him to bring to our attention this morning. I do hope you will remember me in your prayers as I try to speak to you. Brother Will called me this morning and blessed the thought it is. He emphasized that he was praying for this service and for me. I've known Sister Wall and her mother for many years, and I shall endeavor to pray for them in their trials during this time. As I was speaking with Brother Will this morning, I thought about the times I've been here, not only to Macedonia, but to the church I have served and did serve for about 30 years in Chattanooga. And as I was speaking about that, I said to Brother Will, it appears that by far the greater portion of my ministry, if indeed one could describe it as such, I pray and hope that's true, but the greater portion of my ministry over 50 years was in a corridor stretching from Utah Church in Atlanta, Nancy Tree Church in the suburb of Atlanta, both of which I tried to pastor for 13 years, or Utah Church 13 years, and Nancy Creek somewhat less. And then Collins Springs Church, I served for a short while. And Chattanooga Church, and then for one Sunday month down at Friendship at Ringgold. So it never occurred to me until we were speaking about it this morning, as I described it as a corridor stretching from that Atlanta area to Chattanooga. Also at Bethany Church on Sunday night for several years. So I'm grateful to all the pleasant experiences that these churches have provided. There's Harmony Church. I never was there as a pastor, but I remember about 35 years ago when Harmony Church had been separated from the Primitive Baptists in this area for a long time. We had a peace meeting there, as it was called. And, Harmony was restored to fellowship with our churches in this area of Georgia. Sometimes we hear the word transition used. As a matter of fact, earlier this year, there was a transition here in our own country. A transition from President Bush to the new president, President Obama. Through the years, there are many transitions in one's life. In our families, there are transitions. In our workplace, there are transitions. In our dwelling places, there are transitions. One transition that fades into another. I'd like to speak to you this morning about a transition from the Old Testament scriptures. That is one of the most unusual in many ways. But one of the most lasting transitions that has ever occurred. In fact, this transition is on the front pages of our newspapers today. when you read of the problems in the Middle East, particularly Israel and Syria and Palestine, this transition in history, I will remind you somewhat this morning. For this transition, as I say, affects us all this day. And we read of it in Joshua. I'll turn there to Joshua and read some passages. First, let me read a few closing verses from Deuteronomy that precedes Joshua. In the closing verses of Joshua, we read, beginning with verse 7 of the closing chapter of Joshua, which is the 34th chapter, we read, "And the children of Israel wept." Well, I'll read the verse before that. "And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated." A verse or two before that might be appropriate. "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan." Now it mentions the names of the various tribes of Israel. I won't read all of those. But he was shown all of the lands that was promised to the Israelite people. "And the Lord said to him, This is a land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed, and have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. God said to Moses, You will see, and he was seeing it now, all these lands that had been promised to Israel. But thou shalt not go over hither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-Pulgar." So here, we see that Moses died, and no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. The transition of which I speak is about to occur. When Moses says to Joshua, first described what he says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, so the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," speaking to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Just that plain, just that knowledge, Moses is dead. This was the fulfillment of what had occurred many years before. Moses could not cross over. Moses was one of the outstanding men of all history. And when I speak of this transition here, I think you can readily see as I proceed that it does have great effect upon us today. Now, why I could not Moses, Passover. It is because of simply this that he disobeyed God on one occasion. As they were traveling during those 40 years in the wilderness from Egypt to the banks of the Jordan River. 40 years, what a transition for Moses. All of the Israelites that crossed the Red Sea had died, except very few. And here Moses rejoiced to see, no doubt, the land of Canaan. His eye was undimmed. He could see it plainly all the way to the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. God enabled him to see the promised land. The Lord has given us a land here in which we dwell. He promised us this land when we follow and obey Him. I believe I speak to a people this morning who have rejoiced in this promised land spiritually. But here, it was something that could be seen with a natural eye. The promised land. Moses, as I intimated earlier, disobeyed God. God said to him, "Speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock, waters will gush forth." But Moses, at a time when he was somewhat disappointed, maybe that's not the right word, when he was greatly disappointed with the Israelites, when they began to murmur and complain. No, we are like those Israelites. I'm afraid oftentimes we murmur and complain. The Lord had promised to give them so much, promised to give us so much, and yet we sometimes find ourselves unappreciative of what our Lord and Savior has given us. So Moses struck the rock. Yes, the water still gushed forth. Even though we disobey Him sometimes, as Moses did, God does not forget us. The waters gushed forth. There at Meribah, M-E-R-I-B-O-R, I believe is the way to spell it. You may want to read somewhat more about what transpired there at Meribah. And so God told him, "Because you've done this, Moses, you shall not cross over, but you shall see the promised land." And so there Moses stood with Joshua, the tribe of Israel, or the family of Israel, there on the banks of the Jordan. But they couldn't see the Jordan. Those of you who are familiar with the topography of that area of the world, that valley flowing into the dead, the waters flowing into the Dead Sea, is the lowest place on the face of the earth. Moses couldn't see the river, most likely way down deep in that valley, but he could see the promised land. And so he was reminded to Joseph that he would not cross over. And then, as the Israelites followed Joshua on down into the valley, a twisting road indeed. I've traveled it a few times, and you wonder how indeed those ancient Israelites traveled by foot, or maybe sometimes with some animal on the back of the animal. But here they, that twisting journey down to the Jordan River, they must cross over. The Jordan River then was much wider, much more of a river than it is today. The Jewish people have built several dams north of the crossing here and near the Dead Sea. And these dams have taken much of the water for irrigation purposes and so on. But they journeyed on down, and what transpired? The waters parted, just as it did on the Red Sea many 40 years before. The waters parted, and they went through on dry land into the land of Canaan, the promised land. The Lord was with them. God had not forsaken them. And Joshua was now the leader of the Israelites. 40 years he had been second to Moses. But may I read some more now? I'll read again maybe the first verse or two and some other verses. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead, God speaking. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread on. We must bear in mind that just because the waters of the Jordan had parted and the Israelites had crossed over, it was not theirs, actually, until the sole of their foot had tread upon it. And so it is with us in our spiritual journey here. We are called upon to possess the land that is promised to us. This land known as the church or the house of God. I speak to those this morning as I do, and our dear ministers such as Brother Brad, urging those who have followed their Lord in baptism to go forth possessing the land. And that means the study of His Word, following Him in the pathway outlined in these Scriptures. And that was what was called upon by Joshua to go over now with this people to possess the land. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Again there, the great sea is the Mediterranean Sea. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, what a message from God to Joshua. And He will not fail us either. Oh, sometimes we may disobey Him. We may strike the rock instead of speaking to it. Let me give you a little picture, if I can, of this rock. Let me turn over here to 1 Corinthians and read a passage, the first chapter, the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. All of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So bear that in mind, that of this verse and that rock was Christ. Here in the Old Testament, you also see not many passages from where I've read to you about this rock. Capital R-O-C-K. Not a little R, but a capital R. Now, that rock. And that rock, not literally the same rock, but it's a picture of the rock that was and is Christ. And there, Moses smote that rock instead of speaking to the rock. And here is a picture I would extend to you this morning of the importance of speaking to the rock today and not smiting the rock. Speaking in our adoration and in our love for Jesus Christ, who is today the rock of our salvation. So today we can rejoice in the complete works of Christ. That rock of our salvation who hung there on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago now, hung there on Calvary, on Golgotha, and his body was smitten. That rock of our salvation was smitten by so many. And may I point out to you today that he has completed his work and his journey upon this earth, as we well know. And it's important that we give praise and honor to him who is the rock of our salvation. I'm afraid there are many today who more or less smite the rock again. There are those who proclaim we must do something in order to have salvation in that glory world. That there is something that man must do to have that. We hear often the word accept. But I rejoice in this passage found in the Scriptures that he hath made us accepted. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the he in this passage. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, who is our Lord and Savior, our Beloved. And when we say, when anyone might say, that Jesus Christ has not finished his work. He said there on Calvary, it is finished. The work was finished and completed. And if we, in our thoughts and in our activities here, say, it's not quite done. You must accept it. We are smiting the rock as Moses did in the long ago, and he was not permitted to enter into the Canaan's land. He missed some of the joys of the land of Canaan. And oh, when we realize and when we rejoice that Jesus paid it all the debt I owed, but Jesus paid it all. And so we treasure our faith and our love and our prayers and meditations and our thanksgiving unto the rock that is Christ.
Amen.
Now we come in my closing remarks, just a few more minutes. I want to continue reading here in Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of my life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. I want you to remember that little passage there. I was turning back through Deuteronomy, and I was amazed at how many times that phrase was used in the closing chapters of Deuteronomy. And so he repeats it here. God speaks to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I have sware unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou shalt that thou mayest observe to do according to the law of the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God is speaking to us today these words, not only to Joshua the long ago. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that to all that is written therein, or then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Good success if we follow the way that is outlined so carefully here for us as his children. Now I want you to give attention especially to this verse. No doubt some of you have heard me emphasize this verse. I love this verse, Joshua 1:9. If you don't remember anything else that I said to you this morning, I hope when you leave this precious ground, made precious by those who worship here and rejoice in the Lord through all these years. So listen to Joshua 1:9. He's speaking to each of us. Have God I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What precious instruction and what a precious promise is Joshua 1:9. When I was working in the trust department of the then CNS Bank in Atlanta, now it's part of Bank of America, and one of my clients, having her husband's estate, she was making a trip around the world. Mrs. Edwards, making a trip around the world. When they got to New Delhi, they went up to the Taj Mahal to see that very famous mausoleum. And they returned late in the day, very hot day, to their hotel in New Delhi. Retired to their rooms. Mrs. Edwards was traveling alone, that is, she had no companion in the group, but they had already developed a friendship. She retired to her room that evening, and when time was come to go the next morning, Mrs. Edwards did not appear. She'd always been very prompt, and so her traveling companions were disturbed about that. So they asked someone at the desk if they would take their pass key and go in and see about Mrs. Edwards. And the representative there of the hotel went up and went into her room and found her lying up on the floor, partially between the bedroom and the bathroom. She was still conscious. So immediately, the doctor was called, and they converted that hotel room into a hospital room, in effect. And Mrs. Edwards lay there on that bed for about 2 or 3 weeks, I think, gradually improving. Her doctor was not an Indian doctor, but a Sikh. Indians believe in many gods, but these Sikhs believe in one God, one true and living God. Of course, Mrs. Edwards told me about this later. She said, as I was coming to, I saw this short little man with a turban on his head and a large beard. And as I was coming to, he lifted his hands and head to heaven is it what Mrs. Edwards saw. As he said, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. A year or two after that, she brought him. Paid his way to the United States as she did for her nurse. And Virginia and I met the nurse out at Mrs. Edwards' home. I had the doctor in to the bank for a meal. And I saw in them, although they were not as we are, but I saw a witness for the love of God in their lives. Far, far away, as it is today, He has a people in every nation, kindred and tongue. Yes, indeed, those people, as you do, praise Jesus. Speaking to the rock, your Lord and Savior, as He enables us to communicate with Him along life's way. Not smiting the rock, but speaking to the rock. And the blessed waters of deliverance come our way. As Edward said, as I looked at the little table by my bed, there was many messages from the United States. But on top was a telegram. And all that telegram said was Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9. Have God I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever I goest. May God enable you and me in those times that come our way. Blessed view it is this morning to see out there before me a number of young people. I can say young people because I don't thought it's that category anymore. But you can say the need that these words come from your Lord and Savior, that one who is the rock. In Joshua 1:9. God bless you this morning.